I'd left the Merchant Navy. I was worshipping at a church called St. Mary the Virgin Stanwell. I was working for an engineering company out by Heathrow Airport. I was reading my Bible one night. I came to the passage where it's Luke 6:46, I think, where it says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, yet never do what I say?" And what I read was, "Dennis, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and never do what I say?" I really felt as if the earth had moved beneath me, you know, because it poses all sorts of questions. If what I'd been doing up to then was not what God wanted me to do, what does he want me to do? And I mulled it over for a while, and I went to see the parish priest to say I thought God might be calling me to ministry, expecting him to throw me out on my ear. But actually he said, "Oh, I've been waiting for this," which sort of shocked me, you know. And so I started the usual process, seeing DDOs, and I was sort of like flitting. My brother was in really bad health at the time, and I was flitting between the Northeast and London.
So what happened then? Did you, you went through with it all?
No. They tend to send you to talk to different people about vocation, and they all talk endlessly, in my humble opinion, about what you do and say in church, you know, what you're responsible for, what you sing, what you say. And it was all church, 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 and yet more church. And I thought, you know, being very arrogant, I suppose, there must be more to ministry than church. And I could not, part of me, I could not see myself being the person they wanted me to be, this person who lives in a church. And I walked away from the idea. But the itch never goes away. You know, you can soothe the itch, you don't cure the underlying cause, and it stays with you. And then about 20 years ago, I think now, I had some really bad health. Still worshipping at church, by now living out in Tottenham. I had some bad health. They suspected I might not live, but I did, due to the care of the nurses at UCH and the doctors. And then I came out, I thought, right, this is it. I am going to sort this out. I'm going to give back to God what he's given me, my life. I tried reader ministry. I trained to be a reader. But before I'd finished training, I was pretty sure that that was not what God was calling me to do. And I saw the area director of ordinance, and he said, "Oh, I think what you're called to is to be a deacon." I was recommended for training to the diaconate, trained at what we affectionately called North Thames Gas, and I was ordained in St. Paul's Cathedral, I think it was 2007.
But you were missing something.
I was missing something. While I was training to be a reader, again reading the Bible, which should have a health warning on, the great judgment passage in St. Matthew's Gospel, where our Lord says, "I was a prisoner and you visited me." And I pondered this and I thought, I bet not many people do that. You know, people don't tend to mind visiting people in hospital or doing their bit for those that are hungry or naked or thirsty. But a prison visit's an entirely different thing. And so I started ringing around prisons saying, would they be interested in, you know, me coming in? And Wormwood Scrubs, the Reverend Alison Tyler was chaplain there, invited me in, and I spent 2 years as a volunteer there. And you walk onto the wings in prison and you can be nowhere else in the world. It is quite clearly a prison. And, you know, but something about prison ministry appeals to me. You meet people when they're at their best and their worst. And this thing of continually unlocking and locking doors and the discipline of the life, the quite clear boundaries of what you're about, appeal to my nature. So after 5 years at St. Michael's as their parish deacon, I started looking to go back to prison ministry.
Still not the end of the story, is it? You still had a slight itch.
Yes, I had trouble convincing the church that a deacon can be a good chaplain, because deacons don't bless, preside, hear confessions, anoint. The prison, they pay me, so they got me. And within a year, I felt a strong calling to fulfill priestly ministry. And so the journey goes on. I went through the panel process, as it is, which is very insightful when you go through it. You know, these experiences are, you learn a lot about yourself. And they recommended that it would be appropriate for me to be ordained into priestly orders. And I've spent a year, a great year, with the students at site, waiting for July the 4th, Independence Day, when I'm going to be ordained by the Bishop of Woolwich as a priest inside the prison.
Why did you want to do it in prison?
I don't think it would have happened without the input of the prisoners. You know, they are a great bunch to be with. They can be very challenging. The ministry is very challenging. It's very rewarding. I think there's that element of being where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do and being what God wants you to be. And I don't think that would have happened outside. I think I'd still be, you know, a good or, you know, a loyal servant of the church.
What is it about your job that you love?
Being with the prisoners. And I'm not a romantic by any means. You know, it can be very challenging. You go home at night, you are, you know, I'm shattered. I just want to put my feet up, you know, and have some love from the dogs. But you meet people at their worst times of life and at their best times of life. And I've got no magic wand. You have to be very reliant on God to be there with you, to be of some comfort and use to them, and that's what we're called to do, you know, and to struggle sometimes to see Jesus in the person, the people that you are ministering to, because, you know, if you do it to the least of these my brothers, you do it to me.
I've spoken to a few ordinands who all talk about how that itch doesn't go away, and yet most of the people I've talked to have ignored it. Why do you think that is?
Well, with me, I can only speak for myself. With me, I think it's a sense that, you know, it's like, guys, I can't be me. You know, I still hark back, you know, donkeys years ago. Merton Village, they even named it after the pit. You know, it was called Merton Colliery, the village. You know, it did not produce priests. It produced coal miners. You know, but you do get that, the peace of God you do get, I think, I feel, when you stop fighting and you do what God's asking you to do. And that's when you feel that, oh, you know, yeah, stop fighting and, you know, trust in God and do what he wants you to do. You know, and that soothes the itch, that gets rid of it.